How about this? I didn't get to see you guys in all the videos, so this is good. Guys, welcome. Good morning. Welcome to the socially distanced Ridge this morning. And just glad to be back. Glad you guys made it. So this morning, we're going to be doing a few things here. You see a few different cameras. Our attempt is this. We're excited to be live, face-to-face, and together, but we realize that not everyone part of our church family can join us today, so we're going to be recording this. Unfortunately, our attempt to live stream, the technology doesn't want to cooperate this morning, but we will record this. It will be on YouTube later, our YouTube channel. We hope to continue to use that. So I have to tell you, first of all, just praise. It sounds like a church word, but praise be to Jesus, right? Amen. Because I'll tell you one thing. I'm very thankful, very grateful, and very impressed by our church. And I think part of this whole time that we've been walking through between taking the sabbatical time and then now kind of this forced break, I think every church in America, every believer, instead of coming against health officials and government, I think what we need to do is sit before the Lord and the Holy Spirit and ask him, like, what are you up to and what are you up to in me? And one thing I know that he's been up to in this place is he's asking us to really look at and question what it is to be the church. You see, even what we call this building, we call it the church, when really it's the church's building. The church hasn't been here for 2 months. The building stayed, but the church wasn't here. You all were dispersed, right? In your homes, in your communities, behind masks, trying to go to Costco, you know, whatever it is you were trying to do, the church was there. And so in this time, I think maybe we were the church more than we've ever been. Being the pastor, I didn't know everything that was going on in every one of your lives. And actually, that's probably good. As long as somebody else did, that you know and that you love. Because as God's asked me to be the shepherd of this and shepherd this many sheep, I can't at every moment be intimately acquainted with each one of you. However, I sure hope the people around you are. I sure hope you allow yourself to be open, to be seen, to be known. And I think you did. I think people connected. I think they communicated. So thank you, Lord. And let's not stop that just because we're gathering together. This is the plus. This is the cherry on top of this beautiful Sunday that the Lord has built for us. And the posture I want to take is I'm grateful that we all didn't die, right? So far. Okay? But this disease has really only started here. Will it hit hard? I don't know. What will the economic fallout be like? I don't know. But this isn't over. And so the people of God, when hard times happen, you don't come resiliently with a strong face like, whatever, I don't care. No, what you do is you hit your face to the ground and you say, Lord, forgive us for our sin. Heal our land. Heal our family. And so right now, more than anything, we need to be praying hard for our leaders who can't win no matter what decision they make. They got protesters on each side. Pray hard for our communities. Pray hard for those who don't believe. Pray hard for those who believe. And so in light with that, Jackie, would you raise your hand here? I'm going to kind of put you on the spot. You guys know Jackie? Yeah. Everybody, Jackie. Yeah. Jackie served about 35,000 different roles in this church in the last 7 years that I've been here. But one thing she's going to do is help us facilitate a prayer night. And so look for more announcements on that, but kind of save that date, June 4th, to have a time of prayer here. And I can't speak exactly. She's getting a team together of what that will look like and how all that would work. But know that we're looking most likely Thursday, June 4th, and start what at 6:30? Starting at 6:30. Look for emails. It'll be a time to come together, to come before the Lord and just pray, okay? So guess what we get to do? We get to worship with a live band today. This is cool. and we get to get in God's word together. We get to pray together. We get to either socially distance what's up to each other or give each other a hug, depending on where you're at in that. So we'll just praise God for that. Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your patience, not being slow to act, but instead being slow to come against us, being patient with your people. And so we come before you now, Lord. We bow our faces to you. We worship. We lower ourselves in a posture to show that you are higher and better and in control. And no matter the disease, no matter the outcome economically or financially or on our health, Lord, we know that you are God, you are good, and you are in control. And so we actually lift your name high as the good and powerful and true God and creator of all things. We worship you, Lord, to the best that we can by singing at the top of our lungs about how much we love you, Lord Jesus, for coming to save us. And we want to learn from you and become more like you as we talk about suffering today. Lord, be made big. Gather the people who are lost to you and bring them close, Lord, that they would know you, that they would know your love, that they would know your good news. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Join us turning into Colossians 1. And today we're going to cover verses 24 through 29. Lord, I ask that you lead this discussion, Lord, and pull out what you'd like to teach us from your word this day. I ask you to do this, Jesus, and I know that you will. Fill us with your power to understand, Lord, and fill us with your power to apply and obey and live this out. And we just ask this, Lord, in your power and in your name. Amen. We'll see if this is going to work today. I don't know. Let's begin with this. That's not going to work. Verse 24. It goes like this. Now, I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. One thing we remember if you've been with us is this is a letter, right? This letter, who's the audience that this letter's intended for? We haven't been together, so I missed you guys. Like, I love seeing Brandy's face on the other side of the camera, sometimes Josh, but it's so good to see you. So join me, give me some feedback here, speak up. So, okay, who wrote it first of all? Paul. Awesome, yes. Gold star. Okay, second question. Who was the intended audience of this letter? What? The believers at Colossae. Okay. Had he been there? No. Right? Cool. Now, apparently, there was a man who had heard about Jesus, about the good news through Paul, was so excited because he thought it was such good news. He went home to Colossae, and he started telling people. They started gathering, and it became, you know, a fellowship of believers, right? A congregation. The word that we've translated to mean church. So what Paul's doing here is he's reminding the Christ followers that God is the one who sent him. And the reason that God sent him was to reveal a great mystery. Do you guys like mysteries? Mm-hmm. I like a good mystery. Okay. Here's the mystery. You ready? Ready for it? The mystery is from the beginning. It wasn't about Jew or Gentile. It wasn't about God only blessing one family. But that all the people could, through adoption, be part of God's family. No matter where you started your life. Jew, Gentile, the same. And the Jews didn't want to hear it. So Paul sent, a lot of them didn't want to hear it. So Paul was sent, right, to the Gentiles, the non-Jewish people, and to talk about Jesus. And what the really good and exciting news is, every one of us has an opportunity to have Christ. Christ Jesus, our Lord, right? 100% God in us. I realize when I say it, we've assumed this so long because we live in a country where we're allowed to talk about this, so we don't realize how great news that is. But really, this is such good news, it should create hope in you. Which we need, right? I mean, have you guys noticed this? One of the biggest problems we have is maintaining a level of hope that keeps us feeling positive and not giving up. When we are at our worst, what's happening is we've given up on hope, right? And we act in hopeless ways. And so I'm here to remind you, as Paul was there, to remind you that Christ in you is hope. It's hope. And right now, I mean, we have that privilege, right, really, of the really weird times. I mean, you can use whatever word, but it's weird, right? This is a weird time for me. In my lifetime, I've never had to think about wearing a face mask, right, to go to a store or not be able to go out or, you know, am I going to get sick? If I do, is it really that big of a deal? Is it even really a thing? Is everyone lying to me, right? There's 1,000 questions that every one of us have, but it's clearly a weird time that leaves you feeling a little insecure. But we have hope, we have security in Christ, that even if you were to die, even if you were to lose your job, even if you were to lose your house, even if you were able, you know, heaven forbid we not eat for a day. Like, I don't know the data, but I'm sure I could live quite a few days just consuming what I've stored up here for winter, but now it's summer. So I'm sure I could live for a piece of time. So this is what Paul is doing at a face level, right? He is reminding them. But then he says this thing, which is really disturbing. He says this, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake." And that's one of those Bible things that you hear at church and you're like, yep, that's amen. Amen. I'm suffering. Rejoice, I'm suffering. Come on. When's the last time you were like, "Grace, oh, that awful thing happened to you? Yes. That's awesome. That's sick." Right? "Oh, Randy, oh yeah, that health thing, great news." "Oh, divorce, oh, wow, that's fabulous, right? Oh, you're sick, you lost your job, oh, that's the best thing that ever happened to you." I mean, we don't live this way, but we read in church this way.
Yep.
"All things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose." So I'm good with losing my job. I'm good with my kid not talking to me. I'm good with this relationship breaking up. I'm good with this. Are you really? And so asking God about this, whenever I see this suffering thing, I'm afraid that we've done a bad job of talking about suffering. So this is a place I want to focus today. This is a place I feel led to focus as I talk to God. And you know, hey, Connor and Jakey, I've been thinking about you guys because I read this metaphor. Now, we've got two young men here that, you know, God willing, in the next few months, we'll go and do something that is known as basic training with a military branch. Anyone here been through basic training? Yeah, there you go. Yeah, thank you guys for your service. Thank you first. Yeah, give him a hand, first of all. So was that a vacation? Like the Ritz-Carlton or something? Was that cozy? Was it cozy? Did everyone lose their hearing from basic training? was it uncomfortable? Somebody speak up. Was that pretty miserable time? Do you remember it? What's that? Brutal? Yeah. So then you guys, you're going and preparing for that. How are they setting that expectation for you on how this is going to be?
Super easy.
Super easy, right? They're not going to tell them the truth. They won't tell them the complete truth, okay? Yeah. Did they tell you to be crying for your mom? No, okay. But the truth remains, before you sign up, every person, including me, who has no military service, right? I don't even play the video games where I can pretend that I have military service, you know, that I think I'm a sniper because I know how to do it in a video game. I don't even do that. And I know that would be a miserable, difficult time. But when you come out of it, what do you know? You'll be a soldier, right? and you'll be in far better shape than when you entered it. Is that fair? Everyone who's been through it? Maybe mentally, you know, you might be having some issues, but physically you're going to be in a great position coming out of it. But in our faith, we don't want to talk about suffering. And so we invite you in to kumbaya, warm coffee and pastries, and everything's a neutral tone. And we have cool sayings written in cursive about trust in the Lord on the wall, right? None of those things are evil, but if we don't talk about the entire picture we're talking about, if we don't talk about the suffering that is innate to the Christian life, then we're actually selling you a bill of goods. It'd be like saying, hey, bring your flip-flops and your floaties to basic training. It's going to be great. You want to be a SEAL? That's even more water fun. Come on. This is not what we do, but in the church world, this is what we're doing. So Paul says, now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. So in my flesh, I'm filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. I'll talk more about that later. So he said those two things. So briefly, okay, there's a few verses here. The print might be a little small. If you're online, you know, I'm gonna tell you the scripture, you know, references, so you might want to write this down and look at it. But what I want you to see is, first of all, that Jesus talked a lot about this, okay? He let you know what you were in for. And this is what I'm asking you all to be followers of Christ and to be his body, his church, in our world and in Prescott Valley and for one another, okay? But here's what you're signing up for. First of all, one place where Jesus said this was Matthew 5, 11 through 12. He said, blessed are you when people insult you. Ooh, that's fun. Persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Matthew 16, 24 through 25. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Right? Cross is an object for torture and death in the Roman Empire, right? So take up your torture and death and follow me. Whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. See, Jesus taught in this life that we'll have troubles. He talks about that in John 16, verse 33. And if the world hates you, keep in mind it hated me first. John 15 through 18. Is that hidden or is that pretty plain? It's pretty plain. When Jesus was here, he often didn't know where he would sleep that night. He didn't have a home. He didn't have a steady income. He was dependent on God to use others to provide for him. Food, right, shelter at times, sleeping under the stars, protecting him. He died a young man in a torturous death. As a matter of fact, they crucified three guys at the same time. And I don't know if you caught that. He was dead first because what he bore was so much greater that his body exploded from the inside out before the other guys. I mean, this was not cozy. Now, I'm not telling you that you're going to be tortured and killed. I don't know that, okay? But it would be wrong for us not to be honest with one another. Okay, but not only Jesus. Now, what about the disciples, the people that came before us that were following Jesus? What did they say about it? Well, here's a few. Philippians 1, verse 29. For you it has been granted for Christ's sake not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. It's part of the package. There's some suffering. 1 Thessalonians 3, 2 through 4, to strengthen and encourage you in faith so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. For you know quite well that we are destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that you'd be persecuted. And it turned out that way, as you well know. Romans 5, 3, and not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 4, but in everything, commending ourselves as servants to God in much endurance, in afflictions, in hardships, in distress. 2 Corinthians 4, 8, you guys feeling good yet? You feeling good yet? We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing. 2 Corinthians 4, 17, for momentary light affliction is producing for us eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. 2 Corinthians 1, Verse 7, you guys going to come back next week after hearing this? Maybe not, right? And our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that you are sharers of our suffering, so also you are sharers of our comfort. Is that enough? Yes, sir, may I have another? Right, yeah, that's about how that went. Well, it's not really my goal just to make you squirm here. But I believe 100% that we aren't honest enough about our sufferings. And we look at it the wrong way. And so another place where I want to pull you into is actually, it has to do, it's in 1 Peter. But this is the idea. Paul said that rejoicing in my sufferings for your sake is this. He saw suffering as a help. The Christian view that Paul had was that his suffering had a purpose, that it would help him to be conformed into the image of Christ more and more throughout time. And not only that, we joined him in fellowship through his suffering, and we joined him through by fellowshipping together through our shared suffering. Because even though each one of us don't encounter the same difficulties, we all encounter some difficulties where we can relate to one another. Right? If you've been in a hospital bed having a physical ailment, there's a good chance somebody else around you has been in a hospital bed at one point in time with a physical ailment. Maybe not the same one, but they remember the food. They remember the being woken up 7 times at night, wearing the drafty gown, right? Having people trying to come see them when all they want to do is sleep. They remember all those things. They remember the noisy neighbor that screamed in the middle of the night. I mean, they remember those things that you're going through. So we can be like Paul. We can view these trials and afflictions as means, as a way for us to become more like Jesus. Okay, Will, you're not really making me feel better. I know. But wait for it. This is really cool. So now, turn your Bibles, if you have them, to 1 Peter 4. Who wrote 1 Peter? Peter the first? No, Peter, right? Good old Petey, the guy that often stuck his foot in his mouth, follower of Christ. I'm going to start reading it, okay? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh. Christ suffered in the flesh. Can we agree on that? Yeah. Okay, stay with me. I can't move around so much, so I can't, you know, get in your face right now. I'm a little caged, but it's okay. Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourself with the same way of thinking. For whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. For the time that is past suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do, living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatry. The American way, right? With respect to this, they are surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery, and they malign you. But they will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. That's another feel-good scripture, okay? Well, consider this. Since Jesus suffered and it had a purpose, what Peter's saying, what Paul's saying is arm yourself with the same way of thinking. Since Jesus went through it and you're supposed to follow him, then you're going to have to go through that too. Not exactly the same, right? So I looked up the word arm. That's a powerful word. What it means is to equip with weapons, to arm. So this is a weapon for you. Like, use this as a weapon. When you go out there and you encounter things that are difficult, things that come against you, here's your weapon. What's the weapon is this is good and right and should happen. Connor, when you're crying for mommy on the second day of boot, that should happen. Snot coming out, yeah, that should happen. Running, tired of running, that should happen. You didn't take a wrong turn. You didn't do this wrong, right? What you can do now is prepare, right? Run a little bit. If you just sit back, eat Big Macs between now and then, it's going to be harder. You're going to want to run, do a little push-ups, I'm guessing, right? Push-ups. Maybe right, some jumping jacks. They still do that probably. Or is that bad for your joints? I don't know. Yoga. I don't know what they do now. Goat yoga. I don't know. Who knows? Who knows what it is that. But you're going to want to prepare. So you and I, knowing that suffering is here, we have to arm ourselves. We go out ready, knowing that that happens. So when something happens, like today, guess what? We had this crazy plan. You guys heard of this little app? It's called Facebook. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, you've heard of it. Well, you can stream your service live on there, apparently until this morning. Now it's not working, right? So we kind of laughed because arm ourselves with this way of thinking. You think you got a plan? You think you have a plan to good for the kingdom of God? Haha, even more laughs, right? Arm yourselves with this way of thinking. Don't throw your computer because it's not working. Understand that these are the types of difficulties that you're going to face. Does that make sense? But it gets better than that. Then he says this, for whosoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Well, here's how I would put it. The pathway to stop any sin pattern, the pathway to overcome sin is through suffering. That's the way it works. Arm yourselves with this way of thinking. The pathway to overcome sin. I mean, how many of us right now have these habitual sins in our lives? A lot of us. And some of us have the ones that are elevated, right, and shown in society, like I'm addicted to this or that or this. But what about those of us, you know, who even live in fear all the time, or anxiety or control? Like those aren't destructive? I mean, those are destructive. Pornography, right? We know. I know statistics says that, like, half of you dudes are struggling with this, and a lot of you women. Right? Alcoholism, drug abuse, control, fear, right? Maybe you lie and you hide and you deceive. Maybe you steal. Maybe all of these things you're struggling with. And even though Jesus died to free you from those things, you have not yet been conformed to his image in that way. Guess how you get there? Suffering. And on the back end of suffering, guess what happens? It's a little thing called surrender, right? Wow, this is not a feel-good sermon, Will. Yeah, this is the reality. See, now does it start to twist in my mind a little bit here where I'm like, now when I'm suffering, I can begin to see you're doing something here, God. You're trying to cease my sin. And then that's why Paul said, in my flesh, I'm filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. This little section of scripture is troublesome for people because you're like, what? You said Jesus is lacking? Like, are you trying to say like him dying wasn't enough? Excuse me. No, not at all. That's not what he's saying. The lacking is on our part. It's not on Jesus' part. Do you get this? In my flesh, in the struggles, in the failing, what's happening is God is working in me. I'm going through things. And as I go through things, my faith grows in those areas. And as I trudge through there, I come out, if I'll embrace it, right? If I embrace it, then I'll be changed when I come out, and less will be lacking in what Jesus did for me. It's not that Jesus lacked. He did a complete and perfect thing. And honestly, I mean, you can argue theology, but really, there's nowhere in the Bible that says, someone said, I want what you're offering, Jesus. I'm willing to follow you and do what you say. And he's like, no. That doesn't happen. Now, there's people who are like, I swear I'm yours. And he's like, no, you're not. That's in the Bible, okay? But nowhere in the Bible. So you can take your theological arguments about that and keep it to yourself right now. Because I'm just telling you this. If God, Jesus died for everyone, but you don't just get that without receiving it. Does that make sense? You want to overcome finances, then struggle in finances and watch God pull you through, and the next time when it happens, you're like, whatever, right? You want to struggle with your sexuality, surrender that to God. And until you really do and you stop the crap you're doing, but guess what? You can't just pray, oh God, help me with my finances. Help me with fear. Take away my sexual sin. You don't do that. What you're going to do is say, take it away and walk with me while I struggle for 2 years to get this under control. Okay? I did that with the finance thing. Like I went from a good paying executive VP job to $10 an hour working 7 days a week. And then God didn't miss any of my bills, and I kept my family fed and everything. And since then, it's like, the money thing doesn't keep me up at night. Did I rejoice in that suffering? No, not necessarily, but I am in awe. And he did it again this time. I think you guys would be amazed the way God's blessed this little church in this time. It's just the ministries continued, the way that things worked out with the bills. He just did so many amazing things. He proved to us, no need to worry, I have your finances and I want you to continue to exist. Because there's a chance other churches may not continue to exist at the backside of this. There's a good chance some people won't come back, right? Can you keep your doors open? Can you continue to do that? And God has answered very clearly, yes, the Ridge should continue to be a gathering of believers here in Prescott Valley. Right? He answered, and so we're here, and we're thankful. But in that, there's some heartache, there's some discussions, and maybe even within the elders, we at times were like, what do we do? You know? Maybe we even got upset with each other a little bit. We always came to that agreement like, you know what? We prayed, God spoke, this is what we're going to do. And some of you probably were irritated. How come they're not open? Right? Or some of you, don't open ever, right? Yeah. So either way, right, there's just what we see is what's lacking in what Christ did is our acceptance of it. What's lacking in what Christ did was just us becoming more like him. And so through our suffering, we're becoming more like him. So this is really good news. And then it says this, for the time that is past suffices for doing what you thought you wanted to do. Have you lived enough and changed enough that where you look, you have old ways? You have old ways that you're like, yeah, nah, I'm not going to do that anymore, right? Like, I talked to someone who had smoked before, and I'm not trying to vilify that, but this is an example. They smoked before, they loved it, and then now it makes them sick when they smell cigarette smoke. There's an example, right? They used to do something, they decided not to do it anymore. Now the thought of going back to that is like, ugh, yeah, no. What's past, that was enough. What I've already been through, that hurt, that struggle is enough, God. I'm with you now. I'm with you now. I'm going to do it your way instead of that. I tried that, and all it created was longer and longer suffering. For what's past was enough. But instead, now is the time to embrace the truth that Jesus lives in you, and because of that, you should live in unity with him. I mean, this is what he wants. He doesn't want obedient robots. He wants intimate friends and children. He wants unity with you. He prayed that we would be one with him, right? He prayed that we be one with each other as he is one with the Father. He asked for unity, togetherness. You and I were created to live in fellowship with God, and sin has stopped that, and this whole process is to get us back there. And in order to do that, it's going to take some suffering. So if we, because of us, you know, receiving this from him, we should want to live in unity with him. And then we want to follow him even through suffering so that sinful desires would cease to drag you through life. That's what I see a lot. Us just, we're not living, we're being dragged through life. You ever feel like that at times? Your circumstance, you can't seem to overcome it. Yeah. The limitations, the struggles, other people, past decisions seem to just like drag you, and they seem to have control. when Jesus came that you'd be free. So I have to offer this to you. So back to what Peter said, arm yourself with this way of thinking. That whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. The pathway to stop any sin pattern or overcome sin is through suffering. See, so now we can rejoice when we suffer, knowing sin is being defeated in us. Well, it's not a complete view, okay? This is one example of suffering, because sometimes in our suffering, what we're doing is we're learning perseverance. Because in the big picture, right, you and I are living in a place that's not our home. Okay, we can't forget that. Here's a reminder for you. If the things aren't smooth out there, it makes sense. This is not where you belong. Okay? It's like, you know, pick your enemy nation, right? Pick a nation who thinks Americans should die and that would be a good thing with their God. Okay? Now, if I put you there, you're not going to sit back drinking Mai Tais like you were in Hawaii, right? You're going to be on guard. And that's our life. It's a battlefield that exists. And you and I have the choice of which side to go with, and we often make the poor choices. And so one of the things that happens is, as this world is ripped away from us, strand by strand, it hurts. It hurts. And some of you know, because maybe you've had more experiences than me, and some of you don't get it yet. But as I get older and older every year, there's more and more things that are no longer open to me, right? There's things that I can't do or won't do anymore. And some of those I was happy to give up, and some of those were ripped from my cold, dead fingers, right? With me kicking and screaming, right? Like the sweet hairstyle, okay? And that's just not going to happen, right? I'm not going to get taller now. So much for my NBA dreams. But honestly, things, what ends up happening is through suffering, and every one of those things is suffering. Something doesn't end. Most things that end hurt. But not everything that ends is bad. And so you can see that in your theology and the way that you think of God. But if we could begin to kind of rejoice, just say, ooh, that hurts a little bit. Like, Randy, that stings a little bit. Man, this area of my life, this is where there's pain. This is where there's suffering. Okay, God, I'm going to arm myself with this way of thinking. I know where you're working. Because through this suffering, you're bringing a cease to the sin. Here's the reality of what the entitled North American Christian does. Ouch. No thanks. And you pull away from that, okay? Let's say you're addicted to something. To stop an addiction to anything, you're going to have what they call a withdrawal. Whether that's crack cocaine, pornography, or control, or fear, or Starbucks, okay? Every one of those things, it will cause you physical harm to step away from it. Now, the minute you feel physical harm, most of us just go back to that because it feels better. Something is wrong because it hurts. When the reality of what we live in, the reality of this is the six-pack abs principle. Sit-ups hurt. But once it starts hurting, you know you're doing something. Okay? See, I don't got that. That's because I don't do the sit-ups. But I know enough. You do a few, you're sore. But that's, you know, the soreness is good, but you might not be willing to put up with the soreness to get through to the chiseled abs. Is that, you guys get that metaphor? The same thing happens here. Wherever, the message I want to bring to you is there's a lot of really powerful stuff in that. But if I have to simplify it down, it's this. There is a benefit to the suffering in your life right now. And the biggest benefit for you is it's killing some sin. And maybe that's as simple as your dependence on anything but God, which is sin. And maybe it's more nefarious and darker. Maybe it is something that has a hold on you. And it's being shaken to death, basically, right? And that hurts. That hurts. But that's good. So rejoicing through suffering sometimes is smiling even though you're crying, because you're like, I want to go through this suffering so I can beat that sin. Instead of what we usually do, which is like, ouch, no thanks. Ouch, no thanks. This is the way the Christian life is for most of us. Ouch, no thanks. I don't even talk about that because every time I do, it hurts. I don't go there. I won't engage in it. That's not what it is. Arm yourself with this way of thinking. Those sit-ups are hurting the abs. It's working. Ow, there's some pain in that. There's some like brokenness in my sexuality. That's because you're doing something there, God. So don't run from it. Push into it. Don't run from it. Arm yourselves with this way of thinking, that through your suffering, sin is ceasing. And in your flesh, in your humanity, in the limitations that you encounter, you're being conformed to be more like Christ, and you're completing the work that he started in you. How do you think maybe we could help one another in this? Let's get super practical here. Instead of some really smart dude up front telling you exactly what to do, what if we could help each other? What could we do for one another to be the church? Do you think we could as we suffer? As we struggle a little bit? Maybe we could show compassion for one another, but say, God's doing something. Does that help? Or is that kind of like, oh, I'm sorry for your loss? Or they're in a better place, right? That never makes anyone feel better when someone dies. When you say they're in a better place, it doesn't. Because the truth is, as you become less and less like the world, it's going to hurt. And you become more and more like Christ, you're going to get more and more freedom. But what's going to happen is there's going to be a greater and greater division between you and the rest of the world. You're going to become separated. You're going to become pulled apart, which they call holy, right? And so how can those who are on that same journey lift one another up? What do you think? Encouraging words. If you've been, like you said, if you've been through something similar, letting them know, right? Just being present. Pray for them. What's that? Know that they're loved. What about in teenage world? I think maybe like old people like me can just tell you, it stings a lot growing up. And so maybe arm yourself with this way of thinking, that it's, you're not alone and it's not unusual. It shouldn't, I hope it doesn't make you want to stop moving towards Jesus, because it's hard. Because when you're trying to set up a life right now and the world's offering you, this is what you do, and then church is telling you that's not what you do, that's hard. That's right. Anything else? Well, that's enough talking from me. I just want to pray this, and then we'll worship. Maybe during this song, here's a challenge. What if you can take this one thing, right? That you were thinking about when we were talking about struggle and suffering, whatever this one area is. And maybe you could try your best, right? Try your best. Be courageous. And just praise God that he's working in your life. Praise God that there's something that stings enough to let you know that he's there, that he's working, and that he'll walk with you through it. Think we could do that? Okay, let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word, even the difficult ones. I thank you for this truth that because you suffered, we would all suffer as well to follow you, Lord. As we go where you go, we would suffer. And as we suffered, we would learn to be more patient and perseverant. And strip by strip, this world would be torn from us. And we'd be left with you and your truth and in your kingdom. And so, Lord, I pray for everyone here today and everyone listening online, Lord, that you would speak to them about an area in their life where they're struggling, that this would be the time that they don't run away because it hurts, but maybe they've heard this truth and that the Holy Spirit would remind them and well up in them in such a way that they would have the courage and the strength to stay in the pain, stay in the sting. Because you, Jesus, when it started hurting, you didn't jump off that cross and say, nah, not worth it. You knew the suffering was the way to beat sin. And we join you, Lord, and we join all the brothers and sisters throughout the world in different types of struggle, in different types of suffering. As you bring this world to nothing, and you take us from this world, transferred into your kingdom. Lord, we rejoice in suffering because we know that you're working in us. We know that you love us. We know that you're near. We love you, Lord. Amen.